On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, the Golden Boy is here, Oscar De La Hoya. He wants to make Ryan Garcia versus Tank Davis. He wants Jaime Munguia to get big fights. He has big plans. He may even run for mayor. Andreas Hale also joins the show to break down what we saw this past weekend. And we also take a look ahead at what comes up this weekend, the Hall of Fame weekend. Three classes in one. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio. A twofer today. Two good guests, Oscar De La Hoya and Andreas Hale. We're going to go over this past weekend what we saw with Devin Haney beating George Kambosos. So we got some fights on the upcoming schedule, too. Jaime Munguia is in action against Jimmy Kelly. You can see that over on the Zone. Edgar Berlanga is back in the ring against Romer Alexis Angulo. That is on ESPN. I will be heading up to the Hall of Fame. Canastota, huge weekend at the Hall of Fame. Going to be driving up with my dad. He needs to get into the Hall of Fame one day. The fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is kind of ridiculous, but I digress. This weekend is going to be loaded in terms of what's going to happen at the Hall of Fame. Floyd Mayweather is getting in this year. Miguel Cotto, Bernard Hopkins, Roy Jones Jr., James Toney, Andre Ward, Vladimir Klitschko, Shane Mosley, Juan Manuel Marquez, Holly Holm, Anne Wolfe, Leila Ali, and Christy Martin, and so many more. It's ridiculous. So I'm going to be heading up there this weekend. I'm going to get a lot of content. So go to the John Boy Boxing YouTube page for some fun stuff there. I'm excited for this show. Oscar De La Hoya, obviously, pumping up Ryan Garcia. He's fighting Javier Fortuna July 16th at Crypto.com Arena, which is just still weird to say. But that was the main talking points with Oscar. He's really pushing for this Tank fight. And, you know, we're seeing why it's not going to be made. And we're hearing about Showtime has to be involved. As we record this, it's the 20th anniversary of Tyson versus Lewis, one of the first joint promotion pay-per-views. There's only been three joint promotion pay-per-views, and it's Fury versus Wilder, Tyson versus Lewis, and Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Those are obviously three mega fights. Tank Davis versus Ryan Garcia isn't on that level, but there's still a lot of money to be made. So if they can come up with an idea or a way to get that fight over the finish line, I mean, it's a fight that transcends the sport. I've been all about it for a really long time. Let's get to our sponsor here. It's going to be Manscaped. Of course it's going to be Manscaped. Gentlemen, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure all the other father figures out there are looking like daddy material this June. Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature lawnmower 4.0, is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair head to toe. Treat him and yourself. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOXING at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping if you use code BOXING. That's a really good deal. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you, and I will thank you as well. I'm actually wearing the Boxers 2.0 right now. It's pretty hot in New York City. Let me tell you, these are the most comfortable boxers I've ever worn. I'm not just saying that because this paper's in front of me. They are perfect gift for your dad as part of this bundle. They're comfortable to save you from the summer heat, and they have this revolutionary feature, the jewel pouch. Keep those boys safe and sound. Get 20% off plus free shipping. Code BOXING at manscaped.com. 20% off. Free shipping. Manscaped.com. That's code BOXING. Shake what your mama gave you? Nah. You're going to shake what your daddy gave you. And on that note, let's go to Andreas Hale and Oscar De La Hoya. All right, let's bring in our guest this week, Andreas Hale. You know him, senior editor at Sporting News, co-host of The Corner Pod, all-around great guy. There's a fight. If there is a wrestling match, if there is anything involved with combat sports, Andreas Hale is there, and he joins us now. Thanks a lot, man. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Let's get right into it, man. This is like the type of show where you run to the studio, you run to the office, because there's so much going on in the world of boxing today. Just yesterday, on Tuesday, as we record this midweek, we saw the monster, Naoya Inoue, with the complete destruction of Nonito Donaire. And I'll tell you what, Andres, this guy, You know, they talk about like Ted Williams. They say when he hit the ball, it sounded different. When this guy punches, it sounds different. It looks different. I mean, he cemented himself as a top 3 pound-for-pound guy, in my opinion. What were your takeaways of what we saw from the monster?
I like your sentiments, man. Listen, you know, the first fight was pretty competitive, but anyway, I won that pretty clearly with Donaire. This fight, I think Donaire got hit somewhere midway through the first round, and the look on his face suggested things were going to go south. And when somebody hits like that, they're just built different. I also agree with you on the fact that this cemented his place in the top three in terms of pound for pound rankings. Look, the monster's an absolute savage. I don't know who can stand up to that shot. The way he sets up his punches, his aggression. There's just so many things he does well. And for him to completely wipe out a future Hall of Famer in Donaire in just 2 rounds says a lot about his ability. I don't have him quite number one on my pound for pound list, but he's definitely top three.
I mean, these pound for pound list discussions are getting ridiculous. I mean, everyone's got to make them. I understand, but it's like it's a good problem to have, is when you have so many guys that are angling for that one spot. To me, you know, Crawford Spence, winner of that one, probably will get that number one spot. But I think Inoue had it in the back of his mind. I think he actually said it too before in the fight week buildup. It's like, you know, with Canelo losing, he goes, I want to give a performance that is going to, you know, put me in that top spot or in that top three spot. And he did that. That was some scene too in Japan, whether it was the guy that was in the center of the ring with the electric guitar. I mean, it was I got to get out to Japan. I haven't seen a fight in the UK, and I got to see a fight in Japan. But can we get this guy over to the US? I know Top Rank, has him signed, but it's been a very slow play, you know, getting him overseas or getting him here in the States, because this guy can be a massive star here in America.
No, it's a crime. I was saying this the other day. I was like, it's a crime that a casual boxer fan has no clue who Inoue is. Us hardcores, like us, we know who he is. We know his capability. And somebody that's that damn good needs to be shown to American audiences. I think the best way to do it, if he's not going to be undisputed at 118, if you fight Stephen Fulton Jr. at 22, that's an American fight that would put him on the map. I mean, they got to do something. He's just way too good for the general public to not know who he is. And yes, I agree. That scene in Japan was great. Listen, I watched New Japan Pro Wrestling. I've watched Pride FC. They're just wired differently out there. And I think for whatever reason in those arenas, the shots just sound different. The crowd appreciates the sport different. So it was a scene. But yeah, it's time to get Inoue here in the States so that we can really see the monster in action. And I can probably tell people that are casuals, that are my friends, like, that's the guy. Yeah. Now you need to watch it.
Yeah. You know why it's so quiet when you hear the shots? It's because the Japanese fandom, it's just different. I mean, they don't cheer during that rounds. This goes all the way back to like when my pops told me about, you know, Tyson Buster Douglas. You know, he was there and he said it was so surreal because, you know, one of the biggest upsets in the history of sports was happening and unfolding right in front of them, and they just don't cheer during the rounds. At the end of the rounds, they'll do like a little golf clap. So maybe that's why we were hearing those shots land from Inoue. Also, he's just a beast. But yeah, the Fulton fight is what everyone's going for now. Like, that's obviously Inoue. He said he wants to go for undisputed and Paul Butler, you know, next victim up. I mean, that we all know how that fight's going to play out. So if he goes that route, Inoue, and he fights Butler, so he can fight him at the end of the summer because he didn't really take a lot of damage in this fight. Become undisputed at 118. That gives Fulton enough time to fight Akhmadaliev, which is also not like a penciled in W. Like, Akhmadaliev's a really good fighter, but I think Fulton's on a whole nother level. We get that fight, 2 undisputeds, and especially with Fulton, with the WBO has that clause where if you become undisputed, or I believe, or if you win a belt at the WBO, you're automatically number one, mandatory if you jump up in weight. I'm pretty sure it's been done before. So, but Fulton, in a way, is the fight, and I just hope it can be made, because, as you know, these fights are hard to make, with Fulton being aligned with the PBC, in a way being aligned with Top Rank. Is it a big enough fight for them to work together? Where is it going to air? We have to deal with all that nonsense. But just talking about that fight, how do you see that playing out with Fulton's length and his counterpunching?
You know, I think Fulton's like extraordinarily underrated. His boxing ability is pristine, and I don't think he gets enough credit for it. I need to see him stand up to a punch like Inoue's, though. I mean, Inoue just hits different, right? Like, we don't see people that crack like Inoue. I've always said of my favorite boxers, guys that are up and coming, or have the potential to be a big star, somebody like a Tank Davis. I need you to see you get hit in the mouth one good time, and how do you react to that? We haven't seen that really happen to Fulton yet, and I think NY would be the one to do it. But damn, I don't know how that fight goes. I would pick NY just because he's just incredible, and that power is difficult to overcome. But who knows, man? Steve Fulton's got a lot of dog in him. We've seen the dog in him come out before, so it would. I think we'd be a dog fight as a potential to be fight of the year. The one thing that you hit that I want to touch on is, yeah, these fights are difficult to make. 3 years ago, I'd be like, this fight's never going to happen. 2022, a lot more potential for a fight like this to happen, because it feels like people are more open to working together than they have been in the previous year. So hopefully everybody can get on the same page, because this is a fight that we need to see.
I was on SiriusXM with your boys, Randy and Jerry, and I had a theory that, you know, we're seeing a lot more of these big fights, and why is 2022 such a different, feels different than past years? And I think the pandemic is the reason why. I think a lot of these promoters realized they lost a lot of money during that time. How do we make up for it? The best way to make up for it is to make the best fights, which should have been the case the whole time. So yes, hopefully a Fulton and Inoue fight can be made. But I'll tell you what about Fulton, man. He can fight any which way, which is the reason I think he has had such success in his weight class, because, you know, when he fought Angelo Leo, he threw 100 punches around. That was never Fulton's game, really. When he fought Figueroa, he was able to pot shot. And then when he fought Roman, he just systematically broke him down. He's very versatile. He's big. He's going to be much bigger than Inoue. He's long, but you're right. Can he stand up to Inoue's punches? That is now enters the pantheon of like dream matchups that we want to see. It's beautiful how that works. You know, if Spence Crawford for years, or you know, Tank and Ryan Garcia, however you see that, or Tank and Haney. Now this is, enters the fray. Now Fulton and Inoue is going to be the question. They're always going to be asked. Fulton's going to be asked by Inoue. Inoue is going to be asked by Fulton, and that's the grassroots way to make, or to, for these fights to come to fruition.
Definitely. So Dan, I have a question for you. Do you think, because what you mentioned about all these promoters getting together, is 2022 maybe the biggest year in boxing, not in terms of just overall profitability, but the fact that women's boxing is coming into prominence? We finally in the mainstream, we got to see, you know, Taylor and Serrano. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Shields and Marshall. Like we looks like we're going to see Spence and Crawford. It feels like the one year that we can finally say boxing is getting it right. Meanwhile, the UFC is like, whatever they're doing, they're kind of falling apart. Their heavyweight division is just a complete disaster.
Right.
But it feels like this could be like a true breakthrough year in boxing, where everything's happening for the right reasons. For once, as hardcore boxing fans, we've died over this stuff. We've been waiting for so long to get these fights, and we're finally getting them.
I know. It's wild, man. It's like, I don't think it's going to happen. But if Tank fights Ryan Garcia at the end of the year, it's like not even in like the top three of biggest fights of the year, because, you know, there's title implications on all these fights. But yes, 2022 has to go down as one of the best boxing years in a long time, because the right fights are being made. They're marketable fights, you know, like a Taylor Serrano doing a $1.5 million gate at MSG, and then it living up to the hype, exceeding the hype. So much good is going on in the sport. It's almost like, what's going on? Like, we're waiting for the next shoe to drop. It's like, what's around the corner? Like, does this mean that next year is going to not be as great? Because we've seen that in boxing a lot, where like this every other year, it goes from good year for boxing to bad year. But I honestly think that the promoters say, you know what, we should work together. We should find a way to make these big fights. You know, a lot of it is also just good timing. Like Terrence Crawford, you know, getting out of that top rank deal, or it expiring, and it just so happens to align with Spence picking up another belt, and that fight can finally be made now at the right time and before they are out of their prime. But yeah, you can't deny this has been a phenomenal, phenomenal year, and we're only halfway through. There's been so many good fights, but damn. And Dana White doesn't have to come in and save boxing, like he said. He can just worry about UFC. I mean, because he says, I looked at boxing and I said, oh, I don't want to try to. It's a mess. Like, give me a break. It's not a mess. If anything, it's like the healthiest it's ever been.
Agreed.
All right, let's go over to the lightweight picture. Geez, where do we even start with this? Obviously, Devin Haney, champion, did a great work over in Australia, systematically breaking down Kambosos. I think Tank and Haney are the top two guys. It switches off all the time. Lomachenko in the mix. You know, Ryan Garcia, I just ducked because people are going to throw stuff at me. I do think he is a top five lightweight, because it gets pretty thin after the top three or four guys. But your takeaways from Haney's fight, I don't want to see it again. again. I don't think we need to see it again, but, you know, contracts are contracts. Probably going to have to see Haney and Cambosos fight again. What were your thoughts on that fight?
I mean, the fight went exactly how I thought it was going to go. The one thing about Devin Haney that's been supremely underrated is his jab. Other than his overall ability, I think people have been disrespecting Devin Haney for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And it all came together in this performance. He put George Kambosos on the end of that jab, and George can figure it out. And he kind of got beat up in this fight. I don't want to see it again. The same thing's going to happen. Haney will probably adjust and maybe punish him a little bit more, but contracts are contracts. I think the fascinating thing is that there are still people out there that are disrespecting Devin Haney. Like, I look in comments and I see people saying, oh, he beat George Kambosos, who got lucky beating Teofimo. Listen, the man is the undisputed champion. He's 23 years old, got a wealth of talent, and there are nothing but fights to be made. And he took it upon himself, but other fighters wouldn't, to go into enemy territory to fight the champion as a champion, not ask for more money, take less money. I mean, isn't this what warriors are made of?
Yeah.
I can't understand why people still disrespect Devin Haney. And I think even coming out of this performance, in the back of his mind, he's like, well, damn it, I still got things to prove because people are still picking Tank over me or Ryan Garcia. Devin Haney is the best lightweight in the world right now, and I can't believe people still are considering other fighters. Haney's the best.
Yeah, Haney is the best. He's number one in my book. Any rational boxing fan will say the same. The criticisms I have seen are like, oh, he doesn't throw enough power shots. No one wants to see the jab, jab, jab. There's a sweet science for a reason. This isn't like no one has to go in there and brawl all the time. If you can go in there and beat a guy with just a jab, take all his belts away, you know, that there's something to that. That's the sweet science in my opinion. But he is in the driver's seat now, you know, with Top Rank, with ESPN. You know, that's where all the fights are at right now. You know, Tank is the one that is on the outside looking in, unless he can find a way to work with Top Rank or get in work with Ryan Garcia. But I do think we're going to see that rematch with Haney and Cambosos, unless they can come up with some clever matchmaking, some clever deals, because it's going to be a hard sell, Andreas, to the Australian people. Like, that's not going to, I don't know, like, be a stadium fight again. Maybe they can go to Cambosos and say, all right, you're contractually obligated for a rematch, but what about, you know, fighting maybe a Lomachenko in Australia while Haney can go fight a Tank, or Haney can fight you know, someone else at lightweight? Maybe they can figure out a way to make this work where we don't see it just next, but Cambosos can get that second fight in Australia and get the money that he deserves for beating Teofimo.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those times where a rematch clause hurts boxing, because this was, for a lot of people, we kind of saw this coming with Haney dominating this fight, but we didn't see it to this degree. I mean, look, they were generous with the 116-112 scorecard. Yeah. I gave George one round. And if I see it again, if I'm the Australian fans, I don't want to see my superstar get beat up again. I prefer him to fight somebody else. If I'm Haney, it's like, thanks for the payday, but I got bigger things to do and better business to handle. Yes, I'm 23 years old, but I don't really have a lot of time to waste. I don't see the appeal in a rematch. I don't even see how you could sell it to me. You can't tell me that George can have a better performance, because his best performance was against Teofimo Lopez. He's coming off of that, and he got dominated by Devin Haney. No, thank you. Figure a way out of this. I don't know what Devin's going to have to do. I don't know what creative way they can do this, but it's unnecessary.
He's got Bob Arum. They got Arum to figure it out. You know, he can find a way to make this work, because it's going to be a hard sell. It's going to be a tough, tough sell to the Australians. Like I said, not going to be a stadium fight. I'd like to see how it plays out, but I think Haney's in a really good spot now. The majority of the stars at from 130 to 140 are with Top Rank. What do you think happens with Tank? Obviously, I have him number two at lightweight. I think Haney and Tank are the two most talented fighters. I would love to see them tangle. Talk about an explosive fight, or talk about a tactical fight. Do you think he stays with Mayweather Promotions? What are your thoughts on Tank Davis?
Man, I can't really put a finger on it. It feels like, it's felt like the way that Tank has been talking is that he realized he's kind of restricted being with Mayweather Promotions. Like, he fought Rolly Romero. Yeah, it was a fight, but nobody really wanted to see it. Nobody asked for it. We got it. It is what it is. But I think Tank has done enough regionally. He fought in the West Coast. He fought down South. He fought in the East. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to take that big fight. And I don't know if Mayweather Promotions is going to give you that opportunity. I think he needs to test the water. And at this point, you're not getting any younger. You're watching guys like Devin Haney, you know, clean out the division and become the undisputed champion. You need a big fight. We can't watch you fight guys that nobody knows anymore. You need a name on your resume. So hopefully, you know, I talked to Oscar De La Hoya yesterday. He says he's going to make a multi-million dollar offer to Tank to come fight. it is what it is. But I hope you take it. Figure it out, because that's the fight we want to see. I don't have time to waste. Ryan Garcia has repeatedly talked about retiring before the age of 30. Look, if that's the case, you need to go fight Tank now. Let's get the job done. One of the biggest fights in boxing needs to happen. And then we can really figure out how good is Tank Davis. Because I think as much as we enjoy it, I don't think we really know. He hasn't really been tested yet.
No, he has not been tested. And he has the skills, like the eye test. You know, he's got the power, obviously. You know, he's able to apply pressure without throwing punches. I think he has a really good ring IQ. But I would love to eliminate the other part of the discussion with Tank Davis that it always inevitably goes to, is like, has he been tested? He hasn't been in a big fight. You know, does he belong in the pound-for-pound top 10? Because we just don't know. I want to erase that. I'm sure he does, too. To me, like the Tank, obviously I want to see Tank fight Haney because I believe they're the two best. But, you know, Ryan Garcia it's a winnable fight for Tank Davis. It is a lucrative fight. This fight could go north of $10 million, grossing just in the gate alone. It's going to come down to, like it always comes down to, is the which network is it going to air on? Can we do it, is it going to be a joint pay-per-view? Those types of things. And I'm going to speak with Oscar, too, here in a little bit. But that's going to be a tough one to make. But if they can figure that out, you know, I work here at John Boy Media. It's a place where it's just a lot of young kids that don't really know a lot about boxing. They know Tank Davis. They know Ryan Garcia. That fight, it's electric. I mean, you got to figure out a way to make that fight.
Definitely. I mean, again, I don't want to waste any time. I feel like Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis, all we're doing is, you know, you don't want to see fighters waste their momentum. And I feel like Tank has momentum coming off the Romero win. You know, if we all, being honest, we think Ryan Garcia finished as Javier Fortuna when they meet. So it's like, if you got the momentum, make the fight. There's no reason to wait. More importantly, neither of you guys have a belt. There's no other obligations here, like a real belt. Go fight each other.
Right, it's like a grudge match.
Get the job done.
It's a grudge match. It's a lucrative, very lucrative grudge match that could gross a lot of money, make these guys rich. Because Ryan Garcia told me, we both got money. He was here. Ryan, he was telling me, you know, me and Tank both have made our money. I was like, yeah, you've made money, but you never made like something like this. Like, you guys can walk away with like your highest payday by a long shot, by fighting each other, and then the winner of that just moves up. I mean, in a perfect world, we can get that. Maybe with this 2022 energy we got going, we'll get a Tank and a Ryan at the end of the year. We'll see. We'll see how that all plays out. Some bigger, not really big fights, some names fighting this weekend, Andres. We got Jaime Munguia fighting Jimmy Kelly over on DAZN. That's an interesting one for Jaime. A strange career thus far. And then Edgar Belanga, an up-and-coming 168er who has burst onto the scene and now is kind of like, I wouldn't say in the same boat as Munguia, but a guy that had a lot of hype around him, not a world champ like Munguia was, but is almost like learning on the job now. That's not the case for Munguia. We'll start with him. Have you ever seen a career like this? A guy that was a world champ at 154, moves up to 160, wins some big fights, and then it is now being treated once again as like a prospect. I mean, if you can do like a chart of his career, it's just up, down, up, down. And now, obviously, the Charlo fight fell through. Has not fought a champion at 160 or a top-tier fighter, and we get a Jimmy Kelly fight. I think the guy has a lot of talent, but I just don't know, really understand what's going on with his career.
It's like one of the most baffling things in boxing. I mean, once upon a time, Jaime Munguia was the name thrown out there to fight Triple G,
right,
when Canelo had to be pulled for the fight. And you were like, what is he, nuts? And then you watched him fight and was like, dude, you got a superstar in our hands, a potential superstar. And now it's kind of like plateaued. And it's like, Jimmy Kelly? Really? And Oscar will tell you, well, you're trying to set him up to potentially fight Canelo. How about you set him to fight another champion or a really big fight? Because these fights are doing nothing for Jaime Munguia. I don't even see the purpose in there, because it's not like he's getting better fighting these kind of opponents.
Right.
A step up in competition absolutely has to happen. Will I watch this fight? Sure. I want to see how Jaime Munguia looks, but come on, guys. We need a real fight.
Yeah.
Don't talk about Charlo. Don't talk about anybody else at 160 unless you're going to fight him. Jimmy Kelly?
Yeah, I think they were looking at Shane Mosley Jr., not that is that much better. But it's a guy, I mean, it's just another guy that's not the top. I mean, Jaime Munguia is ready for top talent. You know, it's a tricky picture at 160, but, you know, with this new DAZN deal in Golden Boy, I don't know how much this is going to prevent them working with other networks and getting Munguia these big fights, because we saw what happened with the Charlo fight and how that didn't come to be made. It was because of the network entanglements, the common theme of this conversation. But it's weird because we're getting big fights, but we also have like a few entanglements, like, you know, fights not being made. And that could be the case for Jermall Charlo. He injured his back. His fight with Maciek Sulecki postponed. Immediately, if you're a boxing fan, you think, is he really hurt? Or is this not doing well at the box office? Is this not drawing enough interest? You know, I tend to believe the fighter when he says that, you know, he got hurt. But it does make you think, because it's a fight that when it was announced, was like, I don't know if I really have a lot of interest in a Charlo fighting a Sulecki. I want to see Charlo fight some of the top names at 160. Let me ask you this, Andres. He told Fight Hype that this is Jermall Charlo. He is one of the biggest names in the sport. So why should I fight a Benavidez when I can go right for a Canelo? To me, that dashed any hopes of him fighting Longia or an Andrade who is now hanging around and doesn't have a network. I think Charlo is in a Canelo or bust type of situation. I don't blame him, but it is a little disappointing.
You know, the fascinating thing about the Charlos, I think they're exceptional talent, both of them. Mm-hmm. I think they drink their own Kool-Aid a little bit too much. And what I mean by that is sometimes I think they're better than what they are, and they are really good. But I think they go into this cruise mode where they believe that they should get the top fights and they're already big stars. But it's like, no, you guys still have work to do. And in the case of Jermall, it's like, listen, man, you want to fight Canelo. Like, how could you say that you don't need to fight somebody like David Benavidez? That's absurd. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? That's the fight everybody wants to see. You're not a star yet. You are a bigger name, but you're not a star. And you're not a guy like Canelo who could go fight a trash can and people are going to come pay to see it. As we're probably seeing the Sulecki fight, nobody necessarily wants to see that. So man, Stop talking like you're a star. Fight the guys you need to fight and quit giving us the nonsense. I believe he's that good, but I think he thinks he's better than what he is. And I think that's preventing him from becoming the star that I think he can be. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does.
I need to slow it down a little bit.
No, it does. I think Canelo would do big business just because Charlo has been in the spotlight for a while now. And he was, you know, part of the original PBC group. You know, he's fought on Fox. He's fought on Showtime. He's fought on big platforms. But Jermall Charlo's career has completely stalled out since the Derevchenko win, which I think was his best win. That was in October of 2020. He's had two fights since then. You know, the Montiel fight did look less than stellar in that one. You know, I don't blame him for going after a Canelo fight. I think that could be a very marketable fight here in the U.S. I think it could do big numbers. It will sell out. It will do good numbers on pay-per-view. But we don't know what's going on with Canelo. I mean, is he going to fight Bivol? I mean, if you're going to wait for Canelo, you're waiting a while now. I think that Benavidez is going to go the David Morrell route. That leaves Charlo potentially fight Andre, but Andre's looking up at 168. This whole 160 to 168 picture has Canelo's, you know, it's like a shadow of Canelo, and it sucks that that's the case, but I want to see Charlo in big fights. It's going to be a while, though, if he's going to sit and wait for Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, it's like the Mayweather effect again. Remember when everybody's waiting for the Mayweather call?
Yep.
It's like if you're waiting on the Mayweather call, you're missing out on opportunities. Amir Khan waited on that call forever and never got it.
Well, they're going to fight an exhibition, Andres.
Oh,
we're getting too many big fights for that to be interested in something like that.
Yeah. And again, if you're Jermall Charlo, it's like, I don't want to disrespect the man because I think he is great. But I think at some point you just need to say, I want to give the fights that fans want to see. And I'm not going to wait on Canelo. I'm going to continue beating people up until Canelo has to fight me. And that's not what he's doing. Say that you'll fight a Benavidez. Even if the fight doesn't materialize, say that you'll fight anybody. I hate when fighters say that they're only going to fight a certain person. No, fight who you need to fight to get to where you need to be.
Yeah.
Charlo's not there yet, but he can be if he takes a different course with a personality and just says, I'm going to fight everybody and prove myself, and I'm going to prove to you haters that I'm this damn good.
Yeah, there's two sides to every story, too. And who knows if the Benavidez side wants it, too. You know, Benavidez will tell you, you know, I'll fight anyone. I'm not just going to wait around for Canelo. But everyone wants that Canelo paycheck. And I can't fault them for that. But it's going to come to a point where, you know, it's going to come to a point where you got to pick. You got to figure out, am I going to wait for Canelo or am I going to make big fights for myself, a legacy defining fights, and I can get that Canelo fight? It's interesting. You know, as much as we talked about all the greatness that's going on in the sport right now, there are a few divisions and a few fights that leave us a little bit puzzled. But that's what it is to be a boxing fan. There's more good than bad, though. I will agree. There's more good than bad, right?
Absolutely. It's a lot more good than bad. Again, these are minor complaints that we're having because we're still getting the fights we want. We're still getting Joshua and Usyk, which seems to be in August. Like, we're getting Ryan Garcia back in the ring. We just got Devin Haney. look, I got minor concerns. Like, yeah, we can gripe, bitch, and moan, but it's not that big of a deal. Boxing is still in a very good place.
Spence Crawford, if we get that in, looks like October. Who are you rolling with?
I don't know. If you asked me about a year ago, I'd have said Spence. But then I watched what Terrence did to Sean Porter.
Yeah.
And I love Sean Porter, but Sean Porter's never been an easy out for anybody. And Terrence dusted him off with this mean streak that no other fighter has this, right? I've complained about this with somebody like Vasily Lomachenko. He doesn't know how to finish his food. Mm-hmm. He plays with his food a lot. Terrence never plays with his food. If he sees that the plate is there to be disposed of, he's going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that kind of dog in you and you end up in trouble and get hurt, if Errol Spence got hurt against Terrence Crawford, Terrence might finish you. But Errol is so damn good, man. Yeah. Like, this is a fight that is a true 50-50 fight. I know we say it a lot, but a lot of it is 50-50 lies. It's not really a 50-50 fight. This is. I can't really pick a winner. If you ask me today, I'm going to pick Bud Crawford. But if you ask me the day of the fight, I might pick Errol Spence. And that's what makes boxing beautiful. Like, those kind of fights are the ones we need to see.
Yeah, I'll flip-flop until the fight gets made. I'll flip-flop back and forth until that night that they're in the ring, because you can make a case for both guys. Spence with the volume punching showed me a lot in that Ugas win, a lot more power than I've ever seen in recent years for him. He's getting better and better. I feel like he's 100% now from the accident and the retina injury, and he looks so damn good against Ugas. But and then you look at Crawford with that dog in him, and you know, if he sees an opening, he goes for it. You know, only throws around 40 punches around Crawford, and you got Spence, who is the throws the most punches at welterweight. I mean, stylistically, it's just beautiful. All four belts. Damn, yeah, let's end on a positive note, and we cannot wait to see that fight this fall. I'll be out. I think it's gonna be in Vegas. I'll be with you in Vegas. We'll all be there. That's the biggest fight you can make in boxing. Can't wait for it. Enjoyed this talk, Andreas. I think we got down to the bottom of a lot of things here. More good than bad in boxing, but I appreciate the time.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to talk boxing when there's good things to talk about. We had some little complaints. They're so small. They're so small, man. I can't wait to see you hopefully in October or November, whenever the hell the fight gets made. I'll see you in person. We can go ahead and talk about how much more good that we're having in boxing. This is a great year.
All right, man. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you.
All right, let's bring in our guest this week. He is Oscar De La Hoya, 11 world titles over 5 different weight classes, of course, founder of Golden Boy. 6. Wow, I just sold you short there, Oscar. I mean,
come on, hey.
What is wrong with me? I need my boxing card revoked.
6-5, it's all the same.
A lot of titles, a lot of money, a lot of everything. He's Oscar. He's the founder of Golden Boy Promotions, of course. I wonder how many people, the newer fans, only identify you as a promoter and probably don't know about your fighting career. Do you ever get questions like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty crazy how a lot of these young fans, don't realize that I was a fighter.
That is wild. They're like, little do you know, this guy carried the sport for a solid 10, 15 years, HBO and all those days. Wow. It's been a while. Are you enjoying the promotions? I see some of the headlines saying that you can't wait to sell it. As a guy who works in boxing, I don't want to see that. I want to see you part of this game, man.
No, look, I'm ecstatic and always happy that I can promote a sport, continue to work in a sport that I dearly love. Mm-hmm. I mean, boxing gave me everything. Boxing, gave me everything I have today. And so inside and outside the ring. So, when I say that I'm ready to sell the company, it's maybe I'm looking for a partner. Maybe I want to take, Golden Boy to new heights. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of new and innovative ways and ideas that people are coming up with to build brands that are special. And I strongly feel that Golden Boy, the brand, is a special brand, and we can do a lot of things together with people in institutions and maybe funds or even private people who like Dana White maybe wants to get involved with boxing. So there's a lot of ideas that I have.
Yeah.
Well,
Dana White says boxing is too broken. He doesn't want to enter. He doesn't want to save it anymore.
Well, look, I'm pretty sure. Look, Dana White loves boxing. He really has a lot of passion for the sport. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he did try, and it wasn't easy. And it's not easy because when I started Golden Boy Promotions, I started from the bottom up, obviously. Boxing is a fragmented sport. Boxing is a sport that, if you don't have your hands in some sort of a network or you have to know people, sometimes the wrong people, but that's what boxing is. So I'm pretty sure he gave up on it, but look, I actually want to tell Dana White, if you want to talk and if you want to sit down, and first we extend the olive branch, and talk some business, maybe there's big things to do amongst the UFC and Golden Boy together.
Yeah. You talk about networks, and obviously you guys are aligned with DAZN. A new deal was just announced. Fans have seen the Golden Boy as part of DAZN since its inception, or since they started doing boxing. In terms of the new deal, what can we expect different? I know there's a developmental series that I think is going to be excellent because you guys put on some of the best fights at that level. Best matchmakers, I believe, are with Golden Boy. Are there any new wrinkles to this deal, this new renewal with DAZN?
Well, it's unlimited. I think it's DAZN has been actually a great partner. And now that we re-signed with them, it's basically just put on the best fights and they will televise them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it gives us some breathing room to make sure that we try and put on the best fights possible at the time. And the fact that they want to work with other networks, the fact that, they're not shying away from the major pay-per-view events. I think DAZN is a breath of fresh air for the sport of boxing.
Will you guys have maybe a bigger budget? Was that something? Because I know that the Matchroom is getting the lion's share of it, but there are some few some fans, they say, hey, DAZN should have gave all that money to Oscar. They should have gave all that money to Golden Boy because they have a track record, or maybe can do a little bit better than what Matchroom USA has done. Is there a bigger budget for Golden Boy in this new deal?
Yeah, I mean, not only is there a bigger budget, but the relationship has blossomed, has grown. And so, we're excited for good things to come. And you're right. Look, Matchroom and Eddie Hearn, he's a UK promoter based in the UK, and he's been doing great in the UK international. Mm-hmm. But in the US market, I mean, we're the leaders in building the next superstars, building the next champions. And, it's our track record speaks for itself. I mean, I've worked with Floyd Mayweather, I've worked with Manny Pacquiao, with Errol Spence. We built Deontay Wilder from scratch. Yeah. We've had Canelo right from the start. So I know what it takes to build a superstar. And obviously it takes me to Ryan Garcia, July 16th. We have a superstar in our hands.
Oh, he's a big deal. I say this all the time. I feel like I'm a broken record. So I work here at John Boy Media. It's a baseball company. It's full of young kids. I feel like an elder statesman here being 35 years old here, but it's all young kids. And Ryan came through last month and these kids were like, oh my God, it's Ryan Garcia. So even the non-boxing fans know who he is. And he's got a big fight July 16th. I'm in his corner and I have been for a while now. But just going back quickly, last thing with the Matchroom, and I always loved how DAZN had Matchroom and Golden Boy. Can we see more cross promotion in terms of Matchroom versus Golden Boy fighters?
Sure, it's a possibility. I mean, if Eddie Hearn's stable is deep enough and he has the right opponents for fighters like Virgil Ortiz, fighters like Ryan Garcia, the fighters like Jaime Munguia, we promote a fighter like Zurdo Ramirez, who's, by the way, next in line to fight Bivol for the WBA strap.
Oh, I love that fight.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, look, our stable is deep. Our stable is on the verge of breaking through. Mm-hmm. And, these fighters I just mentioned are one fight away from becoming world champions. So, yeah, look, we work with anybody. Yeah. We're open to working with anybody.
I think that's, you guys have a track record of working with a lot of different promoters. That's one thing. Another thing Golden Boy does too is you guys work together. You know, it always has been like that. You, Ryan Garcia, July 16th, Javier Fortuna. You tweeted, first of all, you're one of the best tweeters. I hope you maybe if you get rid of, if you sell Golden Boy, don't leave Twitter because you fire off some great tweets. And I like that you got comments back on because I love to look at the comments. And then you tweeted something. You were like, now you can't, are you guys mad because you can't comment? I love that stuff. Do you love boxing Twitter? Because it is sometimes could be accessible. Other times it's very entertaining.
It's all entertainment. I mean, I'm actually having a good time with it. it's all in good fun.
Yeah, it is.
I think, look, there's a lot of new fans. There's a lot of old school fans. And I'm just happy that the sport right now is on its way up.
Oh, it is. This is one of the best years, right?
Yeah, we're getting great fights. We're collaborating with different networks, mm-hmm. Which allows us to make these big fights happen. So, and it takes me to a possible Tank Davis versus Ryan Garcia fight.
Let's go.
I announced yesterday that I'm willing to make Tank Davis a multi-million dollar offer to make this fight happen with Ryan, because that's exactly what he wants. Ryan wants Tank Davis next.
Yes, I that's the fight. I mean, I've been pushing forward for years now. I had Steven Espinosa on the show a few weeks back, and long story short, he says this fight has to be on Showtime. Golden Boy can be involved, but it has to be on Showtime, and he pretty much laid it out that way, and that seems to be the main stumbling block for this fight happening. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a way of saying we don't want the fight, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make business sense. If you have two platforms promoting the fight, pushing the fight, available for their customers on Showtime, on DAZN, it makes the event that much bigger. I mean, that fight can easily generate way over 1 million homes. On both Showtime platform and DAZN platform, so I'm willing to do that. I want to meet them halfway. A lot of these promoters and networks don't want to cross the street. I'm willing to meet them halfway and making this fight happen. I mean, this is somewhat of like a 50-50 fight. Let's split everything down the middle, 50-50, and make this fight happen.
Do you really believe it's a 50-50 fight in terms of the revenue, despite Tank having huge gates, being on a pay-per-view yet? I'm not saying that Ryan Garcia couldn't get that one way, but if you just look at the raw numbers, Tank has been on a pay-per-view, does decent numbers for today's era in terms of pay-per-view success. Do you think that, something you can maybe say, all right, maybe Tank deserves a little more of the pie to get the fight done?
Well, look, I mean, obviously we know that Showtime fluffs their numbers drastically in order for people to talk about how Tank Davis is a big seller, in order to kind of derail the negotiations with other people, with Ryan Garcia, with myself. Does he do huge numbers? I don't think so. Does he get paid $4-6 million? Yes, great. But if he fights Ryan Garcia, guess what? He's going to make a lot more than that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny that he sells tickets. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You can see that with your eyeballs. Pay-per-view numbers, we don't know. DAZN doesn't put out their numbers either, so we'll never know. It's interesting fight. How about this? How about some way you can meet in the middle, or I'll throw out, I'm not a negotiator, but I'm just throwing out some ideas, Oscar. First fight between Tank and Ryan Garcia is on Showtime pay-per-view. Two-fight deal. Second fight on DAZN. Is that something that could be explored?
Absolutely. I'm open to anything. I mean, I'm open to everything. It can be a two-fight deal, just like you mentioned, I mean, everything is possible.
Yeah.
We can even do a split where maybe you hold 10% and the winner gets that extra 10%.
You need to start doing that more. That's something that I feel like could really get a lot of fights over the finish line. If you do that, the 10% gets held and the winner gets that. Yeah. It's some incentive, right? I mean, so let's start thinking outside the box a little bit.
Look, and I've been a promoter now for like 20 years, I believe. And
that's nuts.
We've been doing this forever. I mean, yeah. it's this is nothing new. It's just, you know, sometimes the people on the other side of the street, you know, they have their own agenda.
Yeah. I think it could do a million homes if, let's just say that Gervonta stays with Mayweather, which I think he will. Yeah. And you're in Ryan Garcia's corner and you guys are involved in some type of buildup where, you know, it's an all access type of thing, a 24/7 type of thing. You're pushing Ryan Garcia. Floyd is pushing Tank. I mean, that's when we can really start seeing huge numbers. I think it'd do big numbers on its own, but you and Floyd get involved with your guys' history. I mean, now we're looking at like a smash hit.
Yeah, no, it's a massive, massive event. And Tank Davis with Ryan is already huge. But, you know, getting Mayweather and myself involved, I mean, imagine doing it old school, getting two private jets, going across the country, promoting the fight to the fans locally in different cities, different states. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a great fight. Styles make fights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those types of events or fights that can become a trilogy. You know, they're actually that good and that close talent wise.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good fight. I think it'd be a good fight. Do you want to spend that much time with Floyd? Are you guys on good terms?
I've known Floyd for so many years, and I'm pretty sure that when we fought, I'm pretty sure he was he had on his villain mask. You know, but that villain mask sold pay-per-views. He knew exactly what he was doing. So I think now, look, we're grown adults, and you know, we're grown men, and I strongly feel that, look, let bygones be bygones. Let's work together and create some big business.
Yeah, okay, I agree. This sounds great to me. I hope we can see that one day soon. Tank Davis, Ryan Garcia, a fight that can transcend the sport and really, really bring it even a bigger year here. And that's what he wants to go for, right? That's the last fight Ryan says at the end of the year he wants to go for. Let me ask you one thing. Why not Jojo Diaz instead of Javier Fortuna?
Ryan Garcia wanted Fortuna. That's basically the bottom line. You know, he was going to fight Fortuna before his mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Garcia feels that like this right here, not the to-go fight, but this fight here with Fortuna is kind of like his comeback fight. So he wanted Fortuna. People were saying that Ryan Garcia was scared of Fortuna. So he just wants to prove to everyone wrong.
Let's just say the fight with Gervonta doesn't happen in December. Is Jojo Diaz a possibility? That fight makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. It's a great regional fight. Obviously, I would love to take that fight to the Crypto Arena once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird saying Crypto, right? It's Staples Center.
It is weird. I'm so used to over the years saying Staples Center, but
I mean, you got a damn statue in front of the building. Come on.
Hey, maybe Ryan's next, right?
Listen, this guy, I mean, it's all ahead of him. I mean, it's all ahead of the whole lightweight division right now. You also tweeted something now. All I can think of is Tank versus Haney is the most exciting fight in boxing. I would love to see something like that. Just these lightweights right now can carry the sport for like 5 years if they all fight each other.
Look, what people don't know about me is that I'm a jokester. Especially on Twitter now. I like joking around, and I mean, a little sarcasm doesn't hurt anybody. When I had mentioned Tank Davis and Haney, we all know that, you know, us experts, us fighters, we know that those two styles will make a very, very it'll be a chess match at the highest level. So it wouldn't be the most exciting fight that can be made. It was just a little sarcasm, but you're right. The lightweight division is stacked. The lightweight division is stacked with so many talented fighters. I mean, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. So it's exciting times for boxing now.
You know, it's funny. It's like a guy like Lomachenko doesn't even get really listed with these guys. And he's like the elder statesman of the lightweight division, arguably the most skilled. We don't know what's going on with him in the Ukraine when he's going to come back, but he's a name that could be thrown into the mix too. So it's like five deep lightweight with like recognizable names and faces. You can't really say that about a lot of divisions right now, maybe outside like heavyweight and maybe welterweight. But yeah, it's a lot of things, a lot of exciting stuff going on. Jaime Munguia fighting this weekend. I want to see Jaime Munguia in a big fight. I know you do too. What is the latest with Jaime Munguia, and how can we get him into big fights? How can we get him versus a Charlo, get him versus a Munguia, get his career back on track?
Yeah, no, I have Jaime Munguia positioned right behind Charlo. in the middleweight division. And, you know, it's a bit frustrating when you want to make these big fights happen, because look, I think as a fighter first, and then a promoter, me as a fighter, me as a fight fan, I want to see these big fights happen. And, Jaime Munguia Charlo would be an excellent, excellent matchup. We couldn't get it done. Easy as that. I mean, we were bending over backwards trying to make it happen. And, it finally just crumbled. And, yeah. Now he's fighting this Cali kid who I don't even know, to tell you the truth. And, but one thing for sure is that when Jaime Munguia steps inside the ring, it's always an exciting fight. He's the one that pushes the fight, makes it exciting. He throws a lot of punches. He gets hit a lot. He's actually learning the craft more and more, and he's bobbing and weaving more with his new trainer, Eric Morales. But I want Jaime to be in these big major fights. It's time. As a promoter, I'm the biggest advocate in getting him the biggest fights possible. So hopefully after this one, we'll maybe talk about moving up to 168 and fighting the top names there.
You also a move to 168 would be interesting. It's kind of weird. It's like 160 is kind of like barren. Like for a while, it was the division. I mean, it was Golovkin, Canelo was in the division. There were so many more names in there. Now everyone's hopping up to try to follow Canelo to 168. Exactly. You got Andrade, who's a champion right now at 168, at 160, and he's going to 168. Charlo was flirting at 168. It's kind of getting absurd. So I would like to see him 168 because Munguia, because that means he can get these bigger fights. Were you a little upset when the fight broke down and the Showtime side kind of like aired out on what it was? It was like over the fact that, you know, the fight had to be on DAZN.
Well, the negotiations broke down because they wanted this fight to solely be on Showtime.
Right.
And that was going to be a big problem because, you know, us as business partners to DAZN, it wouldn't have been fair to our partners. It wouldn't have been fair because they basically built Munguia on DAZN, so it wouldn't have been fair for me to just walk away from that. I'm a loyal business partner, and but there's ways of cutting the pie, and I just felt that it was just very unfortunate from their side that negotiations had to fall through.
Yeah, that's the frustrating part for fans when they hear, oh, it's got to be on one network. It's got to be on, because most fans don't know. They just want to see the biggest fights be made. But, you know, this is the nation. This is the state of the sport now. We have four different
networks. I'll keep banging on the drum. I mean, I'm going to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing until, look, and the fight fans have a voice here. And so if we can put public demand, if we can put a lot of pressure on these networks and, you know, on these promoters, hopefully we can get these big fights done.
All right, let's get a fan question in here. This one's interesting, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. All the few fighters that you didn't fight during your time, which one was the closest to happening that just didn't, looking back, but you wish that you got?
Vernon Forrest.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that would have been a hell of a fight. But he got beat by Mayorga.
Yeah, Mayorga, man. You know, a lot of people were saying Mayorga reminded them of Rolly and vice versa. Rolly Romero.
No, I think Mayorga had
more skills, but like just in terms of the trash talk, and like Mayorga was character, right? Remember smoking a cigarette in the ring after the fight?
Oh yeah. But he was a strong, powerful puncher. But that's exactly what I took advantage of. He was too strong for his own good. So his punches, I saw them a mile away. So it was pretty easy to dissect and to pick them apart and knock them out.
Do you ever get close to fighting Cotto? Because I feel like that, you know, Puerto Rico Mexico rivalry.
Yeah, never did. I think he was a couple of years after me. Yeah. But yeah, that would have been a hell of a fight. Damn. Also, people that really don't know, Costa Zoo was actually one of those fights that was almost going to be made. And I believe he got beat by somebody. But that was a fight that would have been.
Damn. What do you think of his son, Tim Zoo? Is it wild seeing him fight now?
I haven't seen him fight, to be honest with you. But
he's a little raw, but he's got power.
Sure. And, you know, it's you take a look at. You take a look at any sport, and you take a look at the father who is the legend, and he's he's made his own mark in his sport. Then you see the son trying to do the same. It never pans out the same.
Yeah, but he's banging on the door. You're right. And he's banging on the door, almost getting the title shot against Charlo. Right, last one here, Maravella Golovkin on Twitter wants to know if you're still running for president in 2024.
No.
No more comeback and no more presidential run. You're putting those both to bed.
No more presidential run, but there might be some opportunities in Vegas to run for mayor.
Really? Oscar De La Hoya, mayor of Las Vegas.
Imagine that.
Why not California? What makes you go to Vegas?
Well, I'm actually building a home in Vegas, and I obviously should have done it a long time ago.
Yeah. What, run for mayor or build a home in Vegas?
Well, build a home in Vegas for not only for business, but also the obvious, the tax reasons.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see if I can make a run for mayor in Las Vegas.
Mayor De La Hoya. I like their sounds good. Make that fight, Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis. Well, you're the mayor. You can pull the strings, and it gives you even more power. All right, Oscar, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining me, and I'm looking forward to this new deal with DAZN and making some of the biggest fights in boxing.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.